I'm Jeff Pierce, and I'm teaching the village staff about hose house training so that we can be successful should we have a fire inside of one of our structures. And again, Jeff Pierce, I've been serving the village since 1992, assisting and guiding them when it comes to all kinds of fire issues in this community. And my background is driving fire engines, which is the best job in the fire service because you always get to do something fun. But I also would spend my summers going out on wildfires. I've been a member of incident management teams. Love the planning section of that process. But I've done technical rescue, and the one thing that I've always tried to avoid is the hazmat. I don't like putting on the glow suits. So with that, today we're going to be doing the hose house training. As you can see, we've been doing hose house training from the beginning of the Holderin Renewal Center. Because it's critically important that we know what to do. There, as my ex-chief used to say, you call 911, four highly trained professionals show up in 48 minutes with $500,000 of rolling stock, mitigate your emergency, and 10 minutes later driving off. That's damn good government service. Unfortunately, that paradigm of which we are all accustomed to doesn't fit Holden Village. We are the ones that have to bring about a positive outcome. And one of the ways that we can do that is to put sprinklers in all the buildings. The board and the leadership are working towards that goal and made it the number one priority. The second thing that we can do is make sure that we are prepared. So if that day comes, and it will, that we are able to put as much water on the fire as possible, as quickly as possible, from as far away as possible. And I'm going to talk more about that. I want to cover a few other things quickly. Holden has a history of fire. We have, the best thing that we can do to not have to pull the hoses is to be thinking on prevention. We'll talk about that. Using fire extinguishers. All right, we're not really going to dive too much into equipment today. What your responsibilities will be when the whale goes off, the hose houses, and we will physically go outside and pull hose houses from two of the hose houses as if we would if there was an actual incident. So we have had multiple fires in this community. Most of them predated 1992. We lost the garage. We lost Chalet 2. We almost lost Koinonia. If it had not been for a fire sprinkler system, we would not be using that building as it is today. So here's another example of some near misses. All right. This one is an interesting one. For around 2 years, we had some heads up that there was something amiss. People in the lodge kept commenting about how they had to run their clothes through the dryer over and over and over again. And a repair associate, it might have even been Art, I can't remember, but a repair associate called me over to show me something one day. And this dryer vent was stuffed with lint all the way through. Have any of you made fires, campfires, using things like lint and wax before? All right. If your dryer is getting overheated because you keep running it, and, you know, it's a wonder that we didn't have a dryer fire. I have been on a number of dryer fires in my career, driving that fire engine. All right. Koinonia, back when it had a wood-fired furnace in there, somebody decided to clean out the ashes, and they put it in a plastic bucket. What is plastic when it melts? It's a petroleum product. It started the wood cabinet, and if it wasn't for the sprinkler up there, it would have caught fire. And if you go into the closet under the stairs, you can still see char and remnants of that fire in the closet. All right? This was a clamp light on an aquarium that fell into the turtle enclosure and started the bark dust smoldering. Fortunately, the two teenage girls were awakened by their fire alarm going off. And we had early detection. That's the one big thing that we have here at Holden Village, is we have early detection before we have flaming ignition. On so far, we've had early warning. Here's one. It's a melted plug. Hopefully you noticed all of the melted plugs on the table over here. All right? So electrical safety extension cords is really important. All right? You can overload them, and they will melt, and fires can start. Rags got hot here. This was too close to a stovepipe. This is an old washer board. And I think there's somebody here who has firsthand knowledge of this fire incident.
So this was in the director's chalet, which was chalet 9 at the time. It was middle of winter, probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and Tom Alston and I, who was the other director, both came out of our chalet at the same time saying, like, who is that? But I should go check on the director. I had not had any post house training yet or any training on fire prevention. And so, but because we both had this feeling, we went up. It had been we went up and walked into the house, and the whole wall was on fire. There was actually a fire extinguisher on the porch, but I didn't know that. So I went into the kitchen and got buckets of water to them from the wall. Tom took some gloves and grabbed what was that washer board to check it out. But there had been stove was here. Washboard was right up behind the stove, and right to the left of that, 5 minutes later, there was all of the clothes that were there was not a fire detector in that room, and all of the doors that were closed, and so there was no detection either. So,
it has been changed. Thank you. So, we had a little divine intervention taking place there. And they followed their intuition, and they went up there and created a positive outcome. One thing to note is, how accessible, well, in the wintertime, if you live here, we tell people that they need to keep the back porch cleared so that they could exit out the back way. And during that era, was your back porch accessible? Could you have escaped out that back porch if you had gone to the kitchen, turned around, and went, oh my God, the fire just blew up, So the fire extinguisher is on the porch so that if there's a fire, you have to go to your exit, and then as you come back in, if you decide this is a bad idea, you can just turn around and go back to your exit. You're not trapped because the fire is between you and your exit. All right, this is a green slip. So when you find things like this, or you need things to get repaired, we have a process in the village called these green slips. And they are located in the post office in this bot right-hand cubby. And Mark, since they're addressed to you, would you speak for a moment about how they benefit your decision process? And
yeah, so well, it's in general, fire-related or not fire-related, it's really, lots of things break, right? You've got a lot of parts probably that you take care of these problems. So that helps a lot. What they're not for is if you walk in and it's like on fire, or I better go get a green slip. No, that's not what it's for. That's when you pull a fire alarm. If you walk in and it's like, I smell something funny, that's still not a green slip. That's like get on the radio and call and say, I smell something, smoke or something strange in this building. But if you're like, good example, it's like, well, huh, this is weird. Like, why is my clothes not getting dried? That will trigger somebody to go like try and figure that out and hopefully find the problem before it ever becomes smoke or actually a fire. So that's what they're there for. Any kind of repair, like, non-fire window latches, toilets, all that kind of can be written down that way. What you do with those is if you box to the left of that picture is, it says operations manager. You put them in there. The reason you don't put in a repair is we have repair people that are sometimes here, sometimes not. And if we don't have to put in a repair person at the time, put in a repair thing, it might sit there for ever until a repair person comes back. So then I'll grab those and just hand them out to the member making sense.
Thank you, Mark. So basically, Mark triages those things, puts them on a list, and they could end up repairs, it could end up with Dave, and he basically transfers them to the right person to do that work. Here's a good example of things not to walk past, all right? That is a heater in a chalet that's loaded with firewood sitting on top of the cardboard. Okay. Fortunately, it was summer. I don't think they were using that heater. I'm not sure, but it was plugged in. So I removed it. So it's really easy for us today to walk past things or not write up green slips because we think, oh, well, somebody else wrote it up. Or somebody else will fix it. Or somebody else will call 911. Or somebody else will pull the pull station. excuse me. But it's really important that we be aware of our surroundings. What's not natural? What doesn't look normal? What's different today? Your gut instinct. If your gut is telling you something's wrong, you're not sure, go up and ask somebody. Hey, Mark, are there supposed to be heaters, in this space? I found this heater. Oh, no, that's, we tried to collect all of those, and we should go get that. Whatever. Talk to somebody. Take some action. one of my things, I tend to see most things in the world as shades of gray. But there's one thing that I'm very black and white about. And that is your ability to safely and rapidly egress the building should the fire alarm goes off when you're in a space like, well, in any space, really. But it's critically important. And I want to make everybody aware here because I can essentially kind of deputize you to help us make sure that everybody can get out of a session or out of their building, because the exits were clear, all right? One of the things that's necessary is in auditorium spaces, and I'm sorry, this projector doesn't do so well these days, but there's a person standing right here, and we have a chair, and we have this rolling bookcase, and there's barely enough room for them to get by. So what's going to happen to this rolling bookcase when the 140 people that are allowed to be in this building suddenly decide they're going to go out the way they came into the building? Any thoughts? Want to pipe in on what's going to happen to this rolling bookcase and fireside? Yep, it's going to get pushed in, hit the post, get and probably block one of the exits. So now we have everybody trying to exit out of one of the three required exits, and one of them is blocked. All right. So if there's less than 50 people, your aisle is supposed to be 36 inches if there's seats on both sides of your aisle. All right. This is clearly not 36 inches. But you know what? There's an exception in the code book. The little print giveth and the big print taketh away, or something to that effect. All right. Well, there's clearly not 50 people in this front row trying to use this exit. So it could actually be 30 inches. So, but it becomes, for us that will be here in the winter community, it becomes really important when we're shoving a bunch of people in. Fireside, this summer when we're at capacity, the thing that I see is people want to sit by their friends and family. So they grab a chair and they start putting them on the ends of the aisles. And all of a sudden, we've got 30 inches over here. And we got more than 50 people trying to get out of this space. So, people, they're not just thinking that way. So I want you to think about that. And when you see somebody that, just politely encourage them and say, we really need to keep these aisleways open. The other thing is when you're setting up spaces, those of you that are helping our teaching staff and programming and stuff, if you can make sure that we don't set up tables and things in the foyers and stuff in Koinonia, this is our exit pathway here, and we put the table right there in the middle. Well, the reason the table is in the middle, and you can't tell it in this picture because I cropped it, but there's a table right there that's not being used. If this table had just been pushed around the corner out of the way, this table could have been up against the wall, and we would have had plenty of room. We have two doors going out. We want to have an exit that's two doors wide, and we would have had that. So hopefully that all makes sense. I've gone through that really fast. If you have any questions on that, you can ask me later. Be happy to make it more clear. But hope you'll all help me make sure that you can all get out of the building rapidly. All right, fire extinguishers. This is really important. We have water extinguishers on a lot of the porches, which are great for combustibles like paper and stuff. Because they're not a dry chemical extinguisher, that's like a talcum powder, there's less to clean up afterward. But let's see. How many of you are cooks today? How many cooks do we have in here? Awesome. So in the kitchen, there's two grease extinguishers that have water and dry chemical. They cool the grease down because of the water, and then the powder smothers the fire. It's the same thing that's in the grease hoods. So if those things go off, but if you have a small fire and you use this before the big hood goes off and dumps all of its agent, it will be a lot easier to clean up that kitchen and restore it and get the meal on the table. One thing about fire extinguishers, you don't want the fire to be the first time you've ever pulled a fire extinguisher off the wall and looked at the label. All right? We want to know what to do. So there's an acronym called PASS. Pull the pin out of the handle, and there's a plastic tie that holds it in place. When you've got some adrenaline going, that tie breaks really easy. Aim at the base of the fire. All right, we need to get the agent, the powder, on the objects that are burning. Squeeze the handle to release the agent. All right, I like to squeeze the handle, let go for a second, see what's going on. Maybe I need to move over here and put some, you know, agent over here and get behind the object and stuff like that. And sweeps from side to side. Make sure your exit is to your back. All right. Should we have a fire at Holden Village, our goal is this. Put as much water on the fire as quickly as possible from as far away as possible. There's a lot of things you have to do and be compliant with to send people into a burning building. We cannot ask you to go into a building and put out that fire right now. So our opportunity through early detection is that sprinkler system and our ability to put water through the doorway or the window from as far away as possible and knock down that fire and hope that that water fully extinguishes the fire. Of course, and we're doing that because your personal safety is our top priority. So what does that look like? Kind of looks like that. There's Abby and Andrew. All right. So one of the things I like to point out to make sure that you get down the bus, get down the lake in the same condition that you came up, is to prioritize your safety. Look out for yourself. I am number one. George, when he's thinking about his safety, he's thinking, hey, I, George, am number one. All right? Then I'm going to worry about all of you. All right? And then I'm going to worry about the property of Holden Village. If you put things in that order, you increase the chance that you will go down the valley the same way you came up. The other thing is, it's really important, is we got some sort of emergency going on. It's really easy to have that tunnel vision. I may be so focused on something right here that I don't see something off outside of my tunnel vision. So if you see something, tell people about it, all right? They may say, no, we understand that, and this is what we're doing to mitigate it, or we're trained to deal with that. But it may be, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Thank you for pointing that out, all right? If the whale goes off, walk with purpose, don't run. I like to share a story. If a whale goes off one night, and I'm in Lodge 1, I head down that pathway of stone, and I notice there's a dark spot at the bottom of the path, and I don't think very much about it until I get there and realize it's ice. And I ended up falling down. Fortunately, I did some sort of weird acrobatic maneuver and managed not to land on my back and smack my head. Or I probably wouldn't have made it to that emergency. And they would have been going from that emergency to me. So walk with purpose, all right? That's like, hey, I got somewhere to go. The whale's going off, all right? But I'm not running. There's too many trip hazards here, especially at night when it's so dark. Don't expect you to completely understand the chart, but it is an org chart for the whale going off. And basically what it says is there's somebody at the top of this decision tree here, all right? The village directors give the village ICs, incident commanders, they delegate their full authority to them to bring about a positive outcome. And this person is telling a medical branch and a fire branch what they want the goals for that incident to be and what they're and such. A lot of times we have somebody on the porch, porch captain. A lot of times if I'm in the village, I'm the fire branch. But it could be just another IC. And they have, there's hose house captains. We have a porch captain that's in charge of the search teams. Maybe we do have smoke in the building or we've found the fire. And so we have hose teams that are spraying water from the outside. All of these people go back up to the incident commander to bring about the actions that the incident commander wants to happen. It's not a bunch of individual people deciding, hey, I think this is what's the best course of action for this incident. Everybody's taking direction from the incident commander. And it's a really hard, complex concept to kind of understand and work with without days of training. But the point for you today is to understand there is a single point, a single entity or a single person that is in charge. All right. Your responsibility should the whale go off. All right. Well, the first thing that you can do, notice the order, zero, before the whale goes off, is you could prepare your living spaces so that you can respond quickly. All right. I always have a pair of pants, a t-shirt, socks laid out on a chair or my bed or somewhere. All right? How many of you have woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning suddenly and are like, oh, where am I? What am I doing? All right? Blood flow. It ain't all happening at 2 a.m. in the morning, and we're not thinking clearly. If you have your pants, I have woken up, and it's like, what am I supposed to be doing? Where's my pants? Where's, you know? And I'm having a little Chinese fire drill in my own room. So prepare your spaces so that you can get out of there as quickly as possible. And if you're wintering over, that means you take the time to put a jacket on and your snow boots. All right? I have a flashlight by my radio or by my door. All right? And, you know, if you're watching and you're in other people's places, you'll start noticing, oh, there's their flashlight. So they can grab it and avoid those trip hazards on their way to the whale. Go outside, and hopefully by the time you get out there, you'll hear somebody on the whale telling you, searchers check chalet 7. Primary hose house upper, secondary hose house main. And they'll repeat that 3 times, and then you'll hear the siren again. So we want you all then to go to those hose houses. How many of the people here today are searcher trained? Awesome. So we have quite a few people. Those folks are going right to the porch. And the porch captain is going to give them an assignment to go in and see if the whale is a medical emergency or maybe, you know, there's a real fire in there. Those folks are usually around long enough to pick up one of our extinguisher classes and get to actually practice with an extinguisher. And hopefully we get in there rapidly enough, they can recognize it's like, oh, the electrical thing, it's smoldering. I need to go turn off the breaker. Or it's a small, what we like to call, huggable fire here at Holden Village, which is the perfect fire for an extinguisher. Nice and small, not putting out lots of smoke yet. All right. And you're going to stand by the hose house until you hear the all clear over the siren. Or somebody gives you the pull the hose order. And if you get the pull the hose order, you're going to go and take the nozzle and the gated Y to the building that the searchers are at. Today, we're going to do all that. We'll divide up into 2 groups, and we'll do the primary and secondary hose houses, and we're going to pull the hose to Chalet 7. And then we're also going to, there's a bundle of 100 foot of hose with a nozzle strapped to the wall of the hose house with buckles and straps. We're going to take that off of the wall, and we're going to bring it up to the gated Y, and you'll get gated Y, and we're going to assemble it so that you all know what does it look like when we have all 4 nozzles ready to go and spray water in all of these windows and openings. Does everybody know where all the hose houses are? Here's one of our beautiful, recently done up pictures of the village. So here is the upper hose house. Hose house main is right there, across from the jacuzzi. Lower hose house is down here. We have hotel hose house. We have a hose house up by the garden, Agape. And we actually have a hose house in this structure just on the other side of the village here. It's called Garbo because it used to be the Garbo dock. Instead of Garbo Central down in the hotel, we used to don all our winter clothing and stand around that box and sort our garbage while the snow came down right on that dock. And there's hose in there and a hydrant. There's also a hose house, footbridge hose house down by the footbridge. There's one at Hydro, and there's one up at the diesel. I'm sorry, there's one up at the garage. If we have a fire event and you've pulled that hose, searchers are going to come and grab some of you out of that line and go get equipment, all right? We may need to put ladders up to windows so that people can safely get out of those windows. We may want to break out windows or pull the snow crates off of the window with this pike paw. So the next time you're going up the loading dock to the hotel, look up to the left, and you'll see this white pole with a hook on it. We're going to want that brought to the scene. We use people from the hose house line. When we leave this room, we're going to go to lower hose house, and I'm going to briefly show you how we put 500 gallons of water on a fire with a single piece of hose. We like to say in our business, little fire, little hose, big fire, big hose. That's the big hose nozzle. And there's two of them, one in the hotel and one up at the garage. Hopefully, somebody's bringing the radios from the ops office. You may hear us over the wail. Somebody grab the radios in the ops office. You take the red crates, put them on the desk, grab all the radios, drop them in the crate, bring them to the scene. If you're a searcher, we want you to go into the building with a radio. So we'll either give you one of these, or if you are coming by the hose house line and you see somebody in that line that has a radio, feel entitled to go over and tell them, I'm a searcher and I would like to have your radio for this incident, and grab their radio. We want each team to have a radio. That's kind of what it looks like. We have people at the nozzle, 50 feet of hose. She's got a coupling inside her right hand. This person has the gated Y, another coupling, and another coupling. You don't need a lot of people to pull the hose. 3 to 5 people, minimum. But if you got more, awesome. Pull the hose, put it on the ground. We'll charge it. If we need it moved, you can pick it up and move it. All right, let's go outside to the lower hose house. If you haven't signed the roster, please do so. Oh, wait a minute. Time out. So let's have everybody from Mina to this direction go to, you are all headed to primary hose house upper. Everybody here is going to secondary hose house main. All right, that's divides us up. But for now, everybody go to lower hose house. Oh, and today's date is June 11th, 2019.